friends in Christ. The text which will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning was the gospel selection, which we heard just a little while ago. All of us are keenly aware of the fact that testing is an intimate part of our life. And you and I, being in academia, are most painfully aware of that. Many of you are those who need to take tests, and some of us are those who need to work them out very carefully and then to seek to grade them most objectively as we go about this rather awesome test. But you and I need to keep in mind that testing is an ongoing part of our life. It's very intimately woven to the very basic fabric of life. Our text today speaks to us about how Jesus tested a woman and how she passed the test. We might be moved to say that she graded an A on this test. For Jesus says, "Great is your faith." As we look at the context of our text today, we notice the fact that Jesus had been severely tested by the scribes and the Pharisees, the self-appointed interpreters of Scripture. They had bird-dogged his footsteps during his months of ministry in Galilee. And most recently, they had been very unhappy with Jesus because his disciples had eaten food without washing their hands in the proper ceremonial manner. As Jesus replies to their, not commendation, but the opposite, Jesus goes into some detail to stress that what comes out of a man defiles him, but not that which goes into him. And thereby, much to the great displeasure of the scribes and the Pharisees, he had wiped out the neat distinction between the clean and the unclean. It was to get away from this tension-filled atmosphere that Jesus crossed the border into Phoenicia with his disciples. The text is very careful to stress that Jesus wished not to be bothered. He wished to be alone. He did not wish to have more contact with people for the moment to, as it were, to get back again his good sensibility. He had not come to speak words of salvation to the people of the area of Phoenicia. That would be left up to his disciples to do after the Pentecost event. But in good Middle Eastern fashion, his coming had not in any way escaped notice. And this had also come to us through the attention of a woman. As we go into this account, we need to keep in mind that Mark seemingly wrote his gospel to stress that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the Gentiles, that he is the Savior of the world. And seemingly, as you work through the gospel, some very interesting accents are very much present in the gospel according to Mark, which indicates that the gospel is intended for those who are not members of God's covenant people. As we look at the text, we learn that this woman was of Syro-Phoenician origin, and that is rather important to note in the account of Mark. Because Josephus informs us that the people of Phoenicia were very much very hostile against Jesus, against the Jews, and that would be true also the other way. The Jews were hostile against the people who lived in the Syrian Phoenician territory. But this woman had a tremendous problem, and in her great anxiety and in her trust in Jesus, she came to him. She believed that he would hear her urgent plea. And so we see something that is rather interesting, and from that viewpoint, rather strange. We have a Phoenician woman who prostrates herself in front of Jesus. In fact, as we read the account in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the woman calls him, "Thou Son of David," which is a messianic term. Now, as we look at this text, we notice that he says in verse 27, or rather, Jesus says, "First, let the children eat all they want. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog." The Greek in question would be translated best in that way. Now, we need to keep in mind that this woman was a Gentile. She lived within the framework of the Gentile way of life. And we should also be aware of the fact that, if the rabbis are correct, the Jews also had dogs as pets, as that may be true in the families from which you and I come from. And so the analogy is that of a family eating at a table. And as you know, the children will drop little tidbits for the dogs under the table to enjoy. That analogy is an important one in this text of ours. As we look at what Jesus says, he makes some very important points. He stresses that the children should have the privilege, first of all, to eat all that they want. That word first is all important. It's the word that fired the woman's earnest hope. And in so doing, Jesus stressed that his mission was to bring the message of salvation to God's covenant people. But his analogy said much more than that. And that's true also when you look at the parallels in the other synoptic gospels. But the text shows us that the woman was very sharp with it. She accepted the analogy of Jesus, and she turned it to underline a most important truth to Jesus in this time of testing. For she goes on to say, "You are right, Lord, but even the little dogs on the table eat some of these children's crumbs." What she was saying in essence was that the crumbs which drop from the table do not interrupt the meal, nor deprive the children of bread which they might eat. This is her way of saying that Jesus' mission to his own people would in no way suffer. And Jesus recognized her humble faith and her great trust in him. He had passed the test. And in his great delight, he said, "Great is your faith, your prayer is answered." And in a sense, this action of Jesus at this stage in his ministry, being in the probably the summer of his last year on earth, foreshadowed the tremendous events which would take place, beginning with Pentecost of the following year. And now you and I ask, what does all this mean to us? For the Pharisees, it would mean this. The faith Jesus had not found among these religious leaders, or self-appointed religious leaders, he had found in this woman of Syrophoenician ancestry. The Pharisees were so bogged down in a little meaningless minutiae that they missed the great significance of God's grace expressed toward his covenant people in Jesus Christ. And they failed the test. Now for the disciples. As we read the various parallels to this account, it becomes apparent that the disciples were not as sharp-witted as this woman was. They too failed to see the true significance of what this event might mean. To them, the woman was only a pain, as we say in colloquial English. The sooner they could get rid of her, the better it would be. And at this stage, in their association with Jesus, they also failed the test which had come to them. We need to keep in mind that sometime after this event came the event of Peter's great confession in the area of Caesarea Philippi. And as we read the pericope that followed that test, we notice that they also did not understand the true significance of who Jesus Christ is and what his mission on earth was. And now we ask, what does it mean to each one of us? I think that the poet in the hymn which we have on the board, hymn number 396, that says it so well. And rather than for me to say it, let us read and sing together. Rise as we do so, this tremendous confession of faith, which needs all to be yours and mine. In Jesus' name, amen.